In 1997, Sandy and I were in Zhytomyr, Ukraine. We had, with Hero Israel Ministries and Jonathan Bernas, had an outreach to the Jewish people of the city, and we were ready to begin a congregation in order to serve people who had responded to the good news of Yeshua. And we had a meeting of people who might be interested in serving, and I remember gathering in this small room with a fair number of people, and for some reason we started with the Shema, and we just began to sing the Shema, and the Spirit of God came in such power, such strength, that it's a little bit hard to describe. But at that moment, there were people in the room whose hearts were sealed to God for serving the Jewish people. Just singing the Shema and hearing the Shema redefined who these people were and released to them their own sense of identity. Just a week or so later, we came into the city a second time. We were now in another city reaching out. We were sort of like doing two cities at once. And we came back to Zhytomyr to have the first Shabbat service of the new Messianic congregation. And I'll never forget the first conversation that I had when I came into that building. There was an elderly Jewish woman who had come because she had heard we were having the Shabbat service. Someone had invited her. And I went up to her because I wanted to share Yeshua with her. And I thought, you know, she's here. She must be open. So I'm going to share the good news with her and lead her to the Lord. You know, this was like my strong motivation. And so I went up. I had an interpreter. And I went up to her and I started speaking about Yeshua, and she said, yes, I know him. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, she's confused, you know, elderly, and, you know, maybe, you know, she's not hearing Yeshua right, or she doesn't know who Yeshua is. So I said, you know, it's something I think Messianic Jews a lot. It's like, Yeshua, Jesus, you know, like, just in case. And she said, yes, I know. And she said she already knew Yeshua. And then she said something that I'll never forget. She said, he's the only one who understands. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, he was also covered in blood. And her eyes just filled with tears. And she told me in just a few words, it was a story I'd heard a number of times in Ukraine and elsewhere. She was a young girl taken to a Nazi execution site. Almost all the Jews of Zhytomyr, that whole region, were killed during the Holocaust. Very few escaped. She was one who did. She was taken to be killed. She was at the execution site. And when the bullets started coming, somehow they missed her. She fell into the pit where all the bodies were falling. And her family, her friends, her neighbors were not spared, and they died all around her and on top of her. And she was covered in their blood. And somehow she crawled out of there at night and remained hidden through the war. She was a survivor. And she told me that in two sentences, or three sentences, just so short, but she said, he's the only one who understands. He was also covered in blood. He fully understood her sufferings. For this woman, Yeshua was not just a savior, he was a fellow survivor. He had gone through the worst and he had been raised from the dead. She had gone through the worst. She had not physically died, but I can tell you those who have survived such tragedy, such trauma as she did, it feels worse than death for them. But she was raised from the dead by the one who survived death. And with Yeshua, she was able to live with hope and faith despite the sorrows of her past. I cannot explain to you how someone can have tears just filling their eyes as they're remembering the terror of those hours. And then how their face can change and they can become radiant as they're remembering the companionship and the presence of the Lord, who not only comforted them but healed them, who gave life back to them when others had tried to steal it from them. It was his companionship, both during the tragedies of the Holocaust and afterwards, that were her great comfort. I think at Yom Kippur it's important that Messianic Jews remember the profound mercy which God has shown us in Yeshua. Adonai came to earth. He cloaked himself in a human body. He experienced our joys. He drew near to his Jewish people. In fact, think about his first recorded public miracle. It was at a Jewish wedding. They were celebrating and they had run out of wine. And his good Jewish mother came to him and said, "Son, you have to do something. They're out of wine." He was reluctant, but he did it anyway. And he turned water into wine. He made a lot of it. And he made really good wine. Which is interesting, isn't it? That Yeshua would know what's good wine. It challenges some people's impressions of him. I think this showed something of his heart, his desire to increase joy. He did this all in the background. It was very quiet. But his goal was to increase the joy of those who had come to celebrate a marriage. But at the same time, Yeshua also experienced all the sorrows of human life. In fact, he was often surrounded by people with great need. The problem with proclaiming good news is you draw people who are in trouble. And Yeshua knew this. In fact, this is why he came. He knew everyone was in trouble. Not everyone could acknowledge it. In fact, at one point in a certain way, he said, "I didn't come for the people who are well," as if there are people who don't need help. He said, "I came for the sick." And then once it was beyond frustration, could you say? Irritated, maybe beyond that, maybe even disgusted with some of his more religious fellow travelers in the world. And he said to them, "Here the kingdom of God is breaking out in your midst, and you're reluctant to draw close. And tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners are coming quicker than you are. What is your problem?" Many turned to Yeshua because he was bringing good news, and they were in trouble. Some came to him because they had terrible sickness and disease. Others had incurable birth defects. Some had marriages that had failed. Remember that Samaritan woman? How many times had she been married? And now she was living with a man who wasn't her husband. Others had lost all sense of sexual purity. They were prostitutes, adulteresses, adulterers, whatever. And they drew near to him. One came whose child was dying and then died. Another came whose brother was dying and died. And they would come to him thinking, you can spare us the trouble, but even with his beloved Lazarus, Yeshua came too late. But it wasn't too late. It was too late, but it wasn't too late. Too late for the sisters who said, if you had come earlier, he would not have died. You would have healed him. And Yeshua weeps before that burial place. And then he calls out to his friend, who is rotten, stinking flesh by now. And he gets up, he comes out, and Lazar is alive again. Adonai came close to those in trouble, and they came close to him. Even after Yeshua had healed so many people, his message was not about healing. His message was not about miracles. He performed those miracles in order to make clear what his message was. And it was a message of God's mercy being poured out, the righteousness of God being released and revealed in order to restore people. And he was saying to everyone, you can be restored. You can be renewed. You can be born again. You may be broken in some way. You may be in bondage of some kind. You can come out of it if you'll come close to God and allow him to rule. And who can forget those words which he spoke to the adulteress, which are really words for us? He said, he asked a question, where are those who condemn you? They had gone. And he said, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. And in this, he was expressing what his heart was. It was to restore people to life with God. It's not to catch them and punish them. It's to get them out of what's caught them in order to release them. It's almost as if Yeshua was like a kind child going through the woods who found animals caught in traps and opened them up so the animals could escape. Except it wasn't animals. And he wasn't a little child. It was us caught in traps. And no one else could get us out. And sometimes we didn't even acknowledge we were trapped. We're walking in circles, you know, clamped down in terrible pain, chains keeping us in bondage, having limited motion, and we think we're completely free. And he comes and says, come follow me, and we take a step. It's like, the chain is holding us. And he says, come follow me. And we try, and we can't. And then he sets us free. And then we can. And it's only when we're following him and we're experiencing that freedom that we understand we weren't free. We weren't whole. We weren't well. We thought we were. We even thought we were good, did we not? Better than him. Better than that one. Better than the one who had sinned against us. Even when we're praying the confessions of our sin, we know for sure we're better than a lot of the other people around us. We think like that. God came to heal us of such thinking in such ways. But look what happened when the one who brings this incredible message of mercy and love comes into this Jewish world in a time when Rome is occupying Israel and when the temple leaders are collaborating with Rome and no one can be trusted among those officials. The government is cruel and the temple leaders are corrupt. And Yeshua comes in and he, in a sense, defies their authority. And basically says, you're nothing compared to God himself. And whatever good news you have about Caesar is nothing compared to the good news of the God of Israel. And he made this declaration. And he stood fast in it. And this is the response of the corrupt leaders of that day. They decided he was nothing but trouble and decided to kill him. He was too dangerous. So they eliminated him and they worked together to execute him. First they scourged him. Then he was crucified. And there he was hanging on a cross covered in blood. His human body was killed and buried. And for those who loved him, it was an immense tragedy. It all but destroyed their hope. And then Yeshua did what he said he would do. Though no one believed it would happen, he rose from the dead. And he came in a new body that was somewhat like the old body. It had some of the marks of his suffering. And yet it was different enough that even some of his disciples couldn't recognize him. It had some new qualities about it. It could pass through walls. That was handy. He didn't seem to need normal transportation as he had before. He's here one moment and then he's somewhere else. But he came back in order to show us something, to give us a picture of the power of resurrection, so that we could get something in our hearts and in our minds that we too will be raised with him. And when we are, we'll be able to live in a different way. We'll have some of the marks. We'll have some of the... You remember the holes in him that Thomas insisted on touching? They were there. They didn't seem to be like bleeding. They weren't having any effect. They were just there on his body. It gives us a picture that I think in the resurrection we may carry some of the marks of our own sufferings, but they won't have any effect on us. It's a grand picture that the wounds that you have experienced, the tragedies that you have gone through may shape you, but they don't define you, nor must they limit you. Because in the presence of God's mercy, you can rise above those sorrows. Just as that woman in Shatomer told me, he understood. He's the only one who understood. He was also covered in blood. And somehow the revelation of Yeshua covered in blood, raised from the dead, glorified, enabled her to get up out of the dead and to live a different life. Wherever those disciples of Yeshua gathered after he ascended back into heaven, wherever they gathered, in synagogues, in the Jerusalem temple, in their homes, they talked about the mercy that God was showing the Jewish people because of the life, death, and resurrection of Yeshua. That was on their mind. It redefined everything. It changed their understanding of life. It changed the way that they praised God. It changed the power that they had to live. And they declared a message of God's forgiveness, not of his anger. It is as if they lived the message of Yom Kippur every day from that point. Because they were quick to call people to repentance and telling them of the mercy of God and the willingness of God to receive them and to forgive them. And they didn't just resort to anger. If you don't, this will happen. They were telling people who were already in trouble how to get out of trouble. And they declared that in Yeshua God had fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. This is from Isaiah 50, verse 6. I offered my back to those who whipped me, and my cheeks to those who plucked hairs out of my beard. I did not turn my face away from those who humiliated me and spit on me. They declared that through Yeshua God made a Kippur, an atoning sacrifice. If you read the New Testament scriptures in English, you may never notice this, because this strange word is brought to us in English called propitiation, which Most people can't even spell, pronounce, or use a normal daily talk because it's not a normal daily word. But the Greek word that was behind it was the word that the Jews who translated the Tanakh into Greek had picked for Kippur. So today, if you're reading the New Testament in Hebrew, you'll see the word Kippur many times to describe Yeshua. He was the Kippur, the sacrifice that once for all takes away the sins of the world. These early disciples declared that in Yeshua, God was fulfilling also Ezekiel's prophecy. This is in verse 39, chapter 39, verse 29 of Ezekiel. It's important to think about this one because from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, we have many readings in traditional Judaism that focus on God hiding His face, but then when people repent, coming to them. Ezekiel 39, verse 29, I will no longer hide my face from them, because I will pour out my spirit on the nation of Israel, declares the Almighty Lord. And this great outpouring of mercy was offered to all the Jewish people. But what was our part to do? How do we become part of it? Number one, we have to recognize what Adonai has done through Yeshua. And number two, we have to not just think about that, we have to take it for ourselves. Faith only really comes when you begin to move in trusting God. To think about God, to believe God exists, it's only a starting point. It's not enough. To believe that there is a God is dandy, but insufficient. Once Yeshua said, even demons know there is a God. So it's not as if we can be proud of our great accomplishments because we know what demons know. No, to be a person of faith means to trust God, to walk with Him, to entrust yourself to Him. To take the risks of following Him and to believe that what your life will be if you do that is so much better than the life you make for yourself. It's to choose to come close to God, to acknowledge that you have fallen, that sin has separated you, and that it continues to threaten you and you need a sacrifice that works. And so it requires that you pray with sincerity to the Lord. The psalmist does it so powerfully in these few words in Psalm 27, verse 9. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me. Nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. O God, my Yeshua. And God's gracious response to such prayer is described in Isaiah 57, which is the Haftorah, the traditional Haftorah for Yom Kippur. I was angry, and I struck the one who had turned his back on me. I hid from him. And was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. But now I've seen his ways, that he turns back to me, and I will heal him. The first generation of Messianic Jews proclaimed God's mercy together with a call for repentance, the kind of call every Jew should respond to at Yom Kippur. Our sins have separated us from God. We must admit our guilt to God, and we must turn away from the shame of our sin. And then He will freely forgive us, and He will pardon our guilt. Today on Yom Kippur, we come to God with humility, but we come to Him with confidence because God knew that the temple system was coming to an end, and He knew the Jewish people must not be left without a sacrifice for Yom Kippur. Adonai took a body, He came as Yeshua, the one who knew no sin, became the offering for our sin. And thus He became Pesach too, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of Israel and the sins of the world. Can you do what that survivor in Zhytomyr did? Give thanks to the Lord. Can you give thanks to Him? Because He rose from the dead. He gave her new life. He bore the penalty of sin that had touched her. He revived her. He renewed her. He restored her. Give thanks to Adonai, because in Yeshua, your sins are blotted out forever, but your name is written in heaven. May you be sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Would you please stand for Zachreinu L'chaim? Listen to these words. Zachreinu L'chaim, Melech Chafetz B'chaim, V'chatvenu B'sefer HaChaim, L'mancha Elohim Chaim. Remember us unto life, O King who delights in life, and inscribe us into the Book of Life for your sake, O God of life. Remember what Yeshua said. Don't rejoice that spirits are subject to you. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. And I like what John understood, the one who had the revelation. It's almost like a Yom Kippur thing. He who overcomes will be dressed in white clothes. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Zachreinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, v'chatvenu b'sefer hachaim. L'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim chaim. Zachreinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, v'chatvenu b'sefer hachaim. L'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim chaim. Zachreinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, v'chatvenu b'sefer hachaim. L'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim chaim. L'mancha Elohim, L'mancha Elohim, L'mancha Elohim chayim. Remember us. us. Reward us, new life, King who delights in life. Dancing you give us life. Inscribe our hearts with words alive. Inscribe us in the book of life for your name's sake. Remember us, reward us new life, King who delights in life, dancing you give us life. Inscribe our hearts with words alive. Inscribe us in the book of life for your name's sake. Zachweinu l'chaim, melech hafeis, v'chaim v'chatz, v'nu b'sefer hachaim, l'man ka'elohim chayim. Zachweinu l'chaim, melech hafeis, v'chaim v'chatz, v'nu b'sefer hachaim, l'man ka'elohim chayim. Remember us, reward us through life, King who delights in life, dancing you give us life. Inscribe our hearts with words alive. Inscribe us in the book of life for your name's sake. Zachweinu l'chaim, melech hafeitz, v'chaim v'chat, v'nu b'sefer hachaim, l'man ka'elohim chayim. Zachweinu l'chaim, melech hafeitz, v'chaim v'chat, v'nu b'sefer hachaim, l'man ka'elohim chayim. Remember us unto
Zachrena, which Eric has written. To me, it's also one of the high points of this year's High Holidays, because there's something about it that just conveys life. It does. It lifts up. It strengthens and renews. It has that power. Well done.
Thank you.
Turn to page 156. Read with me in the English Avinu Malkeinu. Our Father, our King, be merciful and answer us, though we have no worthy deeds. Treat us charitably with loving kindness, for you have saved us. Avinu Malkeinu, Chanenu Va'anenu, Ki ein banu ma'asim, aseh imanu tzedaka v'chesed, ki hoshianu. Join us in praying.
Avinu malkeinu, avinu malkeinu, avinu malkeinu, faneinu va'aneinu, ki ein banu Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Chaneinu Aneinu, Ki Ein Banu Masim, Aseh Imanu, Tzedaka v'chesed. Aseh Imanu, Tzedaka v'chesed, Ki Hoshianu.
Our Father, our King, we pray for your mercy for your people Israel. We pray that on this Yom Kippur, that our fast would be strong, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon all Israel, that these would be new days. Protect Israel. Bring to nothing Iran's nuclear efforts. Deliver Israel from the terrorism of Hamas, from the rockets that are fired from Gaza. Protect our people. Protect our land. Protect us, we pray. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.